I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Taking It Outdoors. We have a familiar face in the studio with us today. Very excited to welcome back to the program, Ben Williams. You know Ben, he's the president of our Northern Finger Lakes QDMA chapter, Quality Deer Management Association. Ben is a level 3 deer steward and he runs Old Tin Cup Habitat Restoration and Enhancement. To learn more about his work, you can go to oldtincup.com. I want to thank Johnston RV for being a sponsor of this program. 30 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Also, Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion, save a horse, ride a Kubota, and new sponsor, Cooper Sales and Service. Welcome them. Coopersales-service.com is their website. If you need a Can-Am or a Ski-Doo, that's where you go now, Ben. Sponsors. How you doing? How's deer season?
Good. Been putting a dent in the coyote population. Got lucky, and was able to capitalize on a younger female, I think is what she was, judging by her teeth. She was a younger dog, but it's always good to get one of them out of the woods, and ended up punching my first doe tag of the year, too. So it's been good.
I, too, have a doe down. Mm-hmm. Nooms is on the board. Forgive me for third-personing myself. That was so lame. So you got the, you smoked that coyote with a bow.
Yep.
Oh, that's fun. I've never done that.
Yeah, that makes the third one in 2 years for me with the bow.
So you're just out on a regular sit, and it just came along, huh?
Yeah, I got in a little early. I actually started hunting for the first time. I went mobile, or whatever you want to call it, with a hang-on and a set of sticks. Climbed in super early when it was windy last weekend. And about an hour after I got set up, looked to the south, and here comes a dog strolling down the ridge, and watched her sit down and kind of stretch a little bit. She got up, and I let her have it.
Yeah, I get lucky coyote hunting, man. To really hunt those things, I admire that. That's a skill that I've tried. I've been successful maybe one out of 30 times.
Right.
But those things, if you hunt a predator like that, you're certainly doing something. The temperature is starting to drop a little bit. Is that going to get these whitetails on the hoof more?
Yeah, definitely with that. They're definitely in their winter coats now for sure. That summer coat shed out. So now that these temperatures are dropping, the barometric pressure is rising. We always talk about that that photoperiodism during the day is coming shorter and shorter, as we know. So everything's starting to really heat up. And I've seen some really nice bucks hit the dirt so far in New York, and a couple of New York clients as well have dumped some real nice bucks so far.
Yeah, nobody I know directly, but certainly, you know, tertiary friends of Facebook and social media. I've seen a lot of nice bucks so far this year. And, man, hopefully it's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. So the days are getting shorter. That means we're getting closer to our favorite time of the year.
Yep, everything's starting to peak out. Testosterone's peaking out. Estrogen levels are going to come to that head. And the whole cycle's going to kick off with the rut.
I know the time frame can vary, but we can't fight the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to forecast when we start to see some good rut activity.
Typically kind of Halloween is usually that magic day everybody talks about. So that first week of November has always been a really good week for me. And then the third week of November, I've also been real successful. See kind of a shift to, people call it, I don't know, lockdown or whatever you want to call it, during that like end of first week of November into that second week sometimes, but usually that first week is just on fire.
Yeah.
If you got rising barometric pressure and those temperatures are nice and crisp and frosty mornings, man, you got to be in the deer woods.
I know. I'm either in the studio here at the B, or you know, or it's ruined because I have to work at the haunted hay rides.
Right.
So that keeps me up late, and I usually don't get out the next morning or the evening I go out there. Wah! I have to work.
Well, this will be the last weekend for that, so you're all set on that.
Yeah, but I always miss that magic weekend there. But, you know, in that area up by the hayrides in Williamson, you know, there's a lot of hunters, Wayne County out that way, your mm-hmm. neck of the woods, a lot of apple orchards up there. Right. And I read portions of an article. I didn't finish it. But the guy, the writer, was talking about how it's different, these guys that hunt fruit farms
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, guys like I'm on a bean and right. grain and vegetable farm versus. But what challenges are there in hunting an orchard?
Well, kind of thinking personally or whatnot, there's a couple orchard owners that I know locally, and they harvest a fair amount of their deer on nuisance permits after deer season. So sometimes their numbers are already reduced down lower than you might get in some agricultural settings because typically because it's when the most damage can occur on a crop kind of deal. So in that winter time is where you're going to see the most damage on a fruit tree into that next year, especially when they're younger. So, and a lot of orchards now are going to a fenced facility over a lot of stuff too. So, and then if the fruit's not dropping, same thing if the crops are gone, you know, very little, you know, deer use in that area. But we all talk about those old field areas, and you see a lot of that in orchards too.
You got an apple tree, and 10 feet away, you got a pear tree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a deer. I'm walking up to both of them. What's my preference?
I've said it time and time and again, and I can't prove it necessarily right off, but the apples on the ground typically sit there a little bit longer than pears. You typically don't see them pears sitting on the ground. Might be they got a little higher sugar content, or it just might be that little bit of that different food source that we talk about that they kind of seek out. So I'm definitely thinking they're going toward that pear if they're dropping.
Yeah, I got a buddy who's a little bit of a homesteader down in Livingston County, and he's food plotting like crazy down on his property there. And he planted a bunch of pear trees
mm-hmm.
for the whitetail, and I was like, why'd you go with pear? Just for something different? And, oh, man, he launched into this.
Right.
And
well,
he's
there's
like, scientists show deer prefer pear to.
Well, there's a lot of good things with pears, too. Pears are a lot hardier than some of the apple species that you'll get typically. Like a kefir or an Ayers is a good variety of pear. Bartlett's are pretty good, too, because they drop in that nice period in October, and they're holding right about till about now and dropping. So they're about peaking, and you can look at that with any kind of fruit tree you're planting or any kind of mash tree, is look when the drop dates are and the mature dates for the fruit, and then, you know, plant accordingly, like your buddy said.
Yeah.
If you got the right varieties that are dropping mid to late October, you know, that works.
You almost would have to put a shooting house up, too. Your sight lines might be tough
mm-hmm.
if you're hunting an orchard, because there's a level of uniformity
right, yep.
to the trees, and you're not putting a stand in most
right
apple trees
mm-hmm.
So you're either getting in a tower of sorts
right
or ground blinding it
or looking down maybe like a line of trees down a row or something like that, or where we talk about different, you know, habitat features coming together to make different edges, if you will, or different topography features where you might get an increase of deer activity and hunt them going to that food source like we always talk about, rather than maybe on top of it.
Now, Ben, do you find you get more business during deer season at Old Ten Cup or during the off season? Is it now when people are in the woods going, dang it, I wish it was better?
No, it's typically, actually, the big flush is late summer when everybody's scrambling to get stuff done last minute. But I don't get very many, other than some questions from clients or potential new clients, this time of the year, and other than that, it's typically off season. It's my busy time.
So I'm the nudge that's keeping you out of the woods, getting you in here, huh?
Oh no, that's all right, man. I enjoy coming up here.
All right, oldtencup.com is Ben's website. Old Ten Cup Habitat Restoration and Enhancement. He does cool stuff. Tell people about it.
So I do on-site consulting. Help you lay out, design your property, stand locations, food sources, bedding areas. You know, all sorts of stuff with that. I do a lot of stuff on Facebook, which is the Old Ten Cup Habitat Restoration and Enhancement Facebook page. Real active on that with live videos, updates. You'll see my videos and my photos from the coyote and all that stuff the other day. Do kind of a bunch of stuff like that. And I got a live Q&A video probably coming out here soon. So, you know, stay tuned for that on the page. And I do those, you know, a couple times a month usually if I got time. And then always when I'm doing habitat work and in the field updates, I'm putting it up there. So,
well, Ben, we are well into archery season. It won't be too much longer. We'll be able to take the crossbows out in the woods, and then you know, the biggest day of the year, opening a gun season, isn't too far away. So we have a lot more to get to this morning here at Taking It Outdoors. We're hunting those whitetail today, and we continue the conversation next right here at 92.5 WBEE. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. Hope whitetail archery season is being good to you. We're going to continue the conversation this morning as we chase those things around the woods. We have Ben Williams in studio to coach us up and teach us a thing or two. Ben is the president of the Northern Finger Lakes chapter of Quality Deer Management Association. Ben knows his stuff. He's a level 3 deer steward and runs Old Tin Cup Habitat Restoration and Enhancement. OldTinCup.com is his website. This morning's broadcast is made possible thanks to Johnston RV Country. 30 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Thank you to Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota, and Cooper's Sales and Service, new sponsor here at Taking It Outdoors. What are we, a couple weeks away from crossbow time?
It'll be next Saturday, yep, the 3rd.
Oh, really?
I believe so, the 3rd, right?
I'm excited. I'm, what's the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I think it's it might be the 3rd it opens up. Check your regulations book. I'm always a vertical bow guy.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, you got to check and make sure you're up to date on that.
No crossbow for you, huh?
I did take it out last year late season with my dad's, and I ended up harvesting a doe with it.
Yeah, I got it.
But I love my Elite bow, that Synergy I got. It's
a smoke show. Well, the same company that makes that bow you shoot makes this new crossbow called an A4. Cam-X is the brand, A4. I had them on the show here about a month ago, and they're like drug dealers over there, man. I didn't need a crossbow, but I bought one. And, you know, I sold the one I had.
Yep.
You know, I gave a smoking deal to a buddy of mine to introduce him to get, you know, recruit a new hunter. And so I, no pun intended, pulled the trigger on one of those. And, Ben, I didn't believe them when they told me. But I pulled that thing out of the box, put it together, and hit 3 bullseyes at 20, 3 bullseyes at 30, using sticks because I wanted to make sure.
Right, shooting like off bench though. Yep.
Right, and then I went at 30 and put the same tight group in the center, right out of the box, man. Unbelievable. And
awesome.
Yeah, this thing is about half the size of my old one.
Right.
Too. Pretty cool. It's called the Cam-X. And they make them right there in Henrietta. So you're on the board with a doe. Talk to me about field dressing this thing. This is the dirty part of what we do. How long does it take you when you put one on the ground and you get after it, beginning to end? How long does it take you?
The first thing you do is you got to look at that shot. You got to see how that arrow looked. You got to see how the deer reacted. You know, did you see the deer fall over? That's what everybody wants to see, obviously. But this doe that I shot, like I was saying, I did it kind of a hang and hunt style. So I wasn't really familiar with the way the deer were going to come through that spot. She kind of came in kind of quarter and two, gave me a pretty steep angled shot. So I had to put it kind of high so I got, you know, vital, so I didn't just belly neck her.
High shoulders?
No, I got behind the shoulders. I was behind the shoulders, but it was a fairly high because she was only probably 7 yards when I shot her because the way she came in real tight, and that was the only time she gave me a little bit of an angle. And I shot her, and I have the video on my phone or whatever because I do a little bit of that to, you know, try to see, you know, what the angle of the deer was more than the shot, because you don't see a lot after with the phone video. But what you hear in the video is about 15 seconds after I hear her, sounds like she piles up after I hit her. So everything looked good. I got down. But here's where I second guessed myself a little bit. I pick up that arrow, looks kind of livery, doesn't stink like gut, you know, but it's got a little bit of a different color blood to it.
Like it's milkier? Or
it's
like a
dark.
Pulpier?
It was darker and it had almost a little bit of chunk. And what I did was because of that steep angle and she was still quartering two a little bit, I got both of the backs of both lungs, got the liver, and because she was so tight, I got the bottom of the rumen of the stomach going out. So, but again, she was expired right where I heard her pile up. She didn't make it 70 yards, maybe. Like I said, she was expired within 15 seconds. But I waited 2.5 hours before I went after her because of that little bit of hesitation with the arrow. So
yeah, no, that's smart, man. Now, when you nick that belly, did that create a problem field dressing?
It was a little bit stinky, and because I had cooler temperatures last weekend, I did, hung her in the tree overnight or whatnot. I made sure I washed it out real good, got the hose out, after I'd winterized my hose already, obviously. But I got that out, got her all flushed out good, and cleaned up because I didn't want any of that in there. Pulled out the tenderloins that night for the fry pan.
I usually do that before I even, as soon as I get, while I'm gutting it.
Right.
I keep a Ziploc in my... Mm-hmm. In my backpack for that reason. How long do you have, man? Like, really? Like, I guess it all depends on the temperature outside. Ideally, you want to gut the thing as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here is, man, I've seen some butcher jobs. Mm-hmm. I've done some butcher jobs. And I think,
with field dressing?
Yeah, and I think it's something you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
To really get the knack of it, man. And I see a lot of times when I'm dropping deer off, guys just get the mass out of there. But, man, take the time because you get so much less meat. Because if it gets bad, they just cut it away, right?
Right, yep, exactly. Make sure that I cut the whole diaphragm out because you'll see that be like right on the inside of the ribs. Cut that all out. I reach way up in there. I get the esophagus as far up as I can, all that stuff out, and then in the rear end of the deer, butt out is huge. I love that thing. It's one of the greatest inventions for deer hunters, and make sure you only use a half turn. If you do any more or any less, it ain't going to work, but that half turn is perfect, and then make sure that, like I said, is flushed out. I flush mine out with a couple gallons of water, even if it's not a gut shot, to clean that cavity out, especially if I'm hanging it overnight.
So if the temperature's in the 40s, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, 30s and 40s. If you got it nice and cleaned out, usually I'll put a couple sticks in there, a couple spreaders to keep airflow in there and stuff like that. But you got time. Some guys hang deer for a long time. I know guys that hang them for over a week sometimes if the temperature and conditions are right.
What are you, a bushman? Come on.
No, man, I'm telling you. And I don't see much difference in it.
As soon as that thing gets cold and the ticks start falling off it, I want the damn thing out of my yard. Get it to the butcher.
Yeah.
And next time I see it, I want it to be in pretty white paper.
Right. Right. But yeah, everybody's got a little bit different. And as long as you're using good cooking methods and with the right conditions, you can let a deer hang if you got the right conditions and everything.
Now, if you get that buck of a lifetime, the one we're all out there after, will you gut it or will you let your taxidermist do it?
I don't cape them. I don't cape it out. The field dressing I'll do.
Yeah.
That's no problem.
You're
nowhere near that brisket neck area where they're going to peel them back to cape them.
Well, I've even gutted a deer in the past that I had mounted, and my guy told me, next time you want me to mount one, I'll come to your house and gut it. And I don't know if he's being nice or I'm just terrible.
Right. Well, where do you start when you feel right for that sternum right there at the bottom of the ribs?
I start open up down, in the bathing suit
right,
area.
Okay.
And then I go up to bone and I stop.
Right.
I don't go higher than I need to.
Right.
I make maybe a 12-inch incision and then
I
get dirty.
Right. Well, what I usually do is I take my thumb and I'll push on that sternum until you feel the rib stop. And that's where I'll start. I'll pinch it. I'll pick it up. I'll give it one horizontal cut.
Yeah, so you can
open
it
up, get that cleaned out, and then I'll take my tip of my knife on the base of my finger. That way you don't get down in that gut, and you just run it like a zipper and take your time with it. It doesn't have to be fast and quick. And a sharp knife goes a long way. It's a lot safer knife too.
Mm-hmm.
And if heaven forbid something happens, it's easier to stitch up a sharp cut than it is a rusty cut.
You ain't kidding, man. When I first started hunting, I had the biggest knife.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there like a Jim Bowie.
Yeah, I use a little 2-inch freaking bird knife.
Same
is what
here.
I like to use.
Same here. Yep. Now I gutted deer with what my great grandfather cleaned his fingernails with. I'm serious. That size,
right.
Like a little old timer.
Yep.
That's That's all I use.
Yep,
now.
I don't like the folding ones because they get all full of stuff. You know, a nice freaking fixed handle one that's got a nice sheath to it or something.
I've lost a couple of those Havilands in the snow.
Yep.
And that's an expensive slip.
Yep. The more bits and pieces seem to find their way in there. So sometimes if the old stuff ain't broke, don't fix it.
He is Ben Williams. He's the president of the newly formed Northern Finger Lakes chapter of Quality Deer Management Association. We're going to continue the conversation next, all about the whitetails this morning here at 92.5 WBEE. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We are continuing the conversation about hunting those whitetails. Today, our guest in studio is Ben Williams. Ben is the president of the newly formed Northern Finger Lakes chapter of Quality Deer Management Association. Ben is a level 3 deer steward. His company is Old Tin Cup Habitat Restoration and Enhancement. You can see his work online at oldtincup.com. This morning's broadcast is made possible thanks to Johnston RV Country, Bentley Brothers Kubota, and Cooper's Sales and Service. Let's talk bonus bucks for a minute here, Ben. Been checking the cards on the old trail cameras, and looks like I got a new guy moved into the neighborhood. Was very happy to see him.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and probably next time you check, you'll have another buck or two as well. This time of the year, you're definitely going to see him start moving. That home range, I guess you want to call it, is expanding. Even their core range where they're going to live, you know, 70% of their time or better is going to stay fairly consistent to where they're safe, but you're going to see them start pushing those limits. And then if you look at the deer research, man, they just can go wild during the rut.
Now, when I'm saying I got a bonus buck, I'm not talking new to this season.
Right.
I'm talking new, like I saw him 3 days ago on camera for the first time.
Yep.
It's not a deer that came during the winter.
Right.
You know, as sometimes you can pick up a couple transients. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's that, like, I'm like, oh, God, this guy's definitely
a new boy.
Yeah, not
new
from around here.
Yep, absolutely.
And you look at enough pictures, you begin to know your herd, you know?
Yep.
Or at least the characteristics of them and what have you. So that's cool, man. Always excited to see that, and he touched on it. But that's what the rut's all about, man. You never know. Those things can go from my house to Ben's house and then back. And cross your yard in between, man. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so much fun. We were having a little bit of a dirty conversation. One of the unpleasant parts of hunting whitetail, you know, field dressing, butchering these things. I wanted to ask you, have you ever done the golf ball trick?
First time I've heard about it.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, dude, this is the best, man. Next time you go, you skin your own?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is what you do. You get them hung up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Upside down. You got their legs sawed off and what have you. And you'll get them going around the tail.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start peeling it back. And once you get it up over the butt, over the hips, the guys will take and I've seen this firsthand, and they'll take a golf ball and put it up on the fur side and bring it down, tie a rope around the hide, hide out, and make a good knot on that golf ball, and then put it on the hitch of their four-wheeler and start to slowly drive away.
Oh, pulls it right inside
and
it out.
Peels that skin right off that deer like a glove.
Yeah. Nice.
It's fantastic, man.
First I've heard of that.
Wait, what are we doing here? What are you talking about? And I'd heard of guys doing it, but I saw it with my own eyes for the first time. And it was a little gross, but really freaking cool.
Right.
And probably saved 2 hours.
Well, you need some more knife time. You need to stop taking it to that butcher and do a little bit more in the garage.
That's why I go to the butcher, because it takes me so dang long. Mm-hmm. I'd rather hunt. I know what I wanted to ask you. In whitetail hunting, what do you think are the most underutilized tools available to us?
Most underutilized?
Yeah. I would throw out, I always volunteer my moon dial.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I have good luck with that. It's not an exact science, but even if it just gives me a level of confidence for peak hours of the day, in relation to the moon position, not phase.
And,
that... I'm talking about things like Google.
Right. Yeah.
Google Maps.
No, absolutely.
Topography.
Looking at the topography of an area, or just the layout of different habitat types and the way they come together. Could help you look at those bottlenecks and pinch points. But as you're saying that, I want to kind of throw something out there that I actually just put a video up on my Facebook page of it a couple days ago, or a week or so now ago, and that's using milkweed out there to test the wind. Because just because that wind's hitting you from that west, we talk about it before with that thermal in the morning or the thermal in the evening, you'll watch that milkweed go, you know, west to east with that west wind, and then might kick up from that going up that hill in the morning. And I can show you it time and time again out of some of the stands I got where I'll be sitting in the bottom or partway down a ridge with a west wind. Deer coming below me, and you're like, well, that stand's not going to work.
Yeah.
Till that thermal warms up, it'll push that milkweed right back up the hill.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have thought to, but when you say it, I'm like, oh, duh. What an idiot.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of guys will use like a powder, you know, shaker or something like that, or a vaporizer or something, but I've used those, but time and time and again, whether my vapor ran out or whatever it might be, or I ran out of powder. And that milkweed's plentiful right now, man.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what it is, quick Google search. We talk about Google. It's great. You'll see it, the white little fuzzies out there, out in the fields, the pods will be splitting. So now's the time of year to get it.
Dude, Google and YouTube have taught me most things that I didn't learn, either from someone in my family or school. Hey, have you seen these? They look like deodorant sticks. And I forget the name of the company. But it's a product that they claim, all right? You can rub it on your tree stand or the base of trees around where you're hunting, and the scent of this thing calms the deer down.
Oh, what is it, Evercom or something like that?
Something
they call
like
it?
That.
Yep.
That's a bunch of crap, right?
You can't fool a deer's nose. We talked about it time and time and again. You might be able to cover it, you know, or maybe put a different shade on it. But you're not going to beat it. In my opinion, they just got too many scent receptors and, you know, in their nose and stuff like that to be able to not pick that apart.
Yeah, some of these products, man, I've bought them, and then I'm like, you idiot.
No, I mean, absolutely. If you know, want to try stuff and everything like that, you know, we talked about it before with the ozone stuff, you know, being a carcinogen, not using it in the truck or whatever, but using it on your clothes, you know, potentially and stuff like that. You know, does it help? Is it helping? You know, there's not one way to put it against a test group like a scientific study, but, you know, I've seen a fair amount of difference, but I've also gotten going time and time again, going back to that milkweed, run the wind, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you bet, man. That's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or
your worst enemy.
Yeah. Amen. Now, like one of these products, remember when that, nose jammer stuff came out that's supposed to confuse the deer,
right?
Or not? It's
confuse
supposed to
the nose, overload the olfactory system,
right?
Yeah.
And like that, like they're gonna be calm when that happens,
right?
All right, so I bought some of that, and you know, I try to use it. I'm like, what a load! Mm-hmm. But it smells really good. So you know what I use it for now?
Your air freshener?
Yeah, in the RV.
Well,
keep,
there you go.
I keep it in the Jayco. It's got a bit of a vanilla. Kind of smell to it.
Yep.
And I bought a big old can of it, so
yep.
I figure I'm not going to let it go to waste. So, yeah, when I go camping, if I fry some bacon in the RV,
right,
I just blast it with that.
A little nose jammer on it.
Absolutely. All right, Ben, we got a couple more items to get to this morning as we continue our conversation about hunting the whitetail today. Ben is the president of the Northern Finger Lakes chapter of QDMA, Quality Deer Management Association. How long has that chapter been up and going now, Ben?
About 5 months now.
If you got people in the area that are like, hey, man, I've heard of QDMA.
Right.
I'm down with what they do.
Yep.
What would you encourage them to do?
If you haven't heard of QDMA, I'd first encourage you to go to QDMA.com and just kind of read about it. There's great articles on there, information. Consider becoming a member. It's just like non-for-profit organizations like NWTF or Ducks Unlimited or any of those ones, except for it's kind of the whitetail side of stuff. We got great stuff that goes on locally with a lot of the other branches in New York. They do youth hunts, veteran hunts, and stuff like that, as well as getting first-time hunters out there in a lot of cases, and great educational events and banquets as well. We do have a Facebook page, which is the Northern Finger Lakes QDMA branch. Page, which is our local one, and if you want to get involved or have any interest in that, drop us a message on there or on the Old Tin Cup or on my personal page as well. Either of them work.
One more segment to go here at Taking It Outdoors, and that happens next on 92.5 WBEE. Hey friends, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors here at 92.5 WBEE. I was just handed some recent research that just came in from a fancy agency we subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
And statistics prove that Taking It Outdoors has the best looking radio audience on Sunday morning. So congratulations to you people listening. You are lovely, you are beautiful, you are handsome. And thank you for your time this morning. We're getting excited about deer season. Heck, I've been excited about deer season for, well, since last deer season. And we are having a conversation about a broad spectrum of whitetail-related topics. Ben Williams is our guest in studio. He's the president of the QDMA chapter, the Northern Finger Lakes chapter of Quality Deer Management Association. Ben's a level 3 deer steward, and he's very kind and generous with his time to come in here and coach us up. And we're thank you for being here today, Ben. This morning's broadcast is a product of Johnston RV Country, 30 years of creating generations of family fun. They are in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Also, Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. And another thank you to Cooper's Sales and Service online at Cooper's Sales-Service.com. Don't look at me like that. Cut me some slack.
It's a brand new sponsor.
New money here at Taking It Outdoors. Good people. I had their boy JJ in here a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's a crack trap shooter.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like really good, like national championship
caliber.
Yeah, it was cool talking to him about that. All right, Ben, it's time for a Taking It Outdoors pop quiz. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Shoot it.
All right. Concealed carry. Who's got the biggest caliber in the room right now? What caliber are you concealing?
Carrying my 380. That's my normal carry gun.
Ooh, a 380.
Mm-hmm.
I got you beat.
We carrying a little 9?
Little 9. 40. I got the 40.
Oh, 40. Oh, boy.
Yes, sir. Smith & Wesson.
Mm-hmm.
M&P.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Mm-hmm. Those MP?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
You kidding? I'm still paying that thing off.
Oh, speaking of handguns, that's what I'm going to be taking to the deer woods this year a little bit. I got a 44 Magnum taken out.
Ah, no kidding. A revolver?
Mm-hmm. Dan Weston with an 8-inch, yep.
Nice. What kind of scope you put on it?
I don't know. I'm debating whether I'm going to put a scope on it or run iron sights. I got to get down to the range and double check it, but my grandfather just gave it to me, so.
Oh, that's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Did you already go put it on your permit?
I actually got the paperwork, and I'm getting that done this week.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how it works out in Wayne County. I know it's different from
county to county. Yeah. Yeah, it's just an amendment form, and you pay the fee and get it done.
No, that's good stuff, man. I want to bring up a program. Your buddy reached out to me from our other QDMA chapter in town, the one you had the coup from.
The Greater Rochester branch, yep.
He sent me a note and asked that I promote this Field to Fork program, and I forgot to do it on Taking It Outdoors this show.
Right.
So I did it on the coffee club during the week, and I did it one morning. By the end of that day, he had sent me another note saying, call off the dogs, program's full.
No kidding.
Do you know about this Field to Fork program?
Yeah, they have, I forget how many people,
I think he capped it around 12 or 14.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and they've been out to the range, went through their hunter safety course, all that stuff. So they're getting ready to take those individuals out. Some are actually hunting with the crossbow when crossbow season opens up this year. But they got a lot of new hunters that they're getting involved with it. And that's one of QDMA's five-year goals is to increase new hunters. I forget the number, and I know I'm a bad president for that. But they're definitely looking to increase new hunters and all that for sure.
What I liked about this program is it's for people that have had an interest in hunting, but maybe don't have the resources, or more importantly, that person in their life that comes along and introduces it to them.
Right, or have no idea where to start with it.
Right, mm-hmm. And this program is designed for that those individuals, and I thought it was cool. What's his name, Bob Rose?
Rose, yep.
Yeah, nice dude, sent me a nice note, and I banged the drum for him, and he fired back. He's like, man, thank you so much. The response was overwhelming.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's awesome, man, mm-hmm. And if that's what you do, and gosh, and the early portions of that program,
right.
That certainly has potential to grow by leaps and bounds. You know, as I'm reading, you know, different whitetail hunting content, magazines, mm-hmm. online articles, am I to believe this chronic wasting disease is headed our way, or is it just a bunch of noise at this point? Is it a legit concern for us down the road?
I think it could be specifically in New York. There's no doubt that CWD is infecting, you know, areas of the whitetails range or whatever. There's extremists on both sides of that that say it's going to end all deer. There's also people that say it's a myth and a hoax. I believe in the sound science that it is a 100% fatal disease. It affects kind of all deer a little bit differently, it's shown, with stuff like that. And some may not even appear with symptoms for a long period of time. But the biggest thing that I think is going to bring it into this state is the captive deer industry specifically. And there's tons of regulations on that. But if you look just to the south of us, Pennsylvania has had a lot of instances with CWD-tested positive facilities in the captive deer herds down there in Pennsylvania. And that's just a stone throw.
Like the captive deer population, like petting zoos?
Yeah, well, talking like urine-producing facilities, high-fence hunting facilities, specifically stuff like that that you see with those, you know, fenced-in, you know, populations, and also people that just have them. I know there's a few kind of Naples area, I want to say, that have them just to just have deer, you know, in a fenced facility. But that, I think, is the biggest risk of it. Other than that, it hasn't really made the push, and that's its quickest way to, you know, move across state lines.
CWD, chronic wasting disease. If you're into hunting deer, you've heard of this,
mm-hmm.
at minimum. Is it a virus? Is it a
prion?
What does that mean?
It's neither virus nor bacterial. It's a prion. It's a living thing, essentially. And there's not a lot known about it.
Like a parasite?
No, it's not a parasite. It's not a virus, not a bacteria. It's a prion. And if something prion-wise was to get introduced to, you know, the human population in any form, it's not like you can put a vaccine to it for the virus or an antibiotic for bacteria. It's one of those things that is kind of new to the whole medical field or whatever you want to call it, but...
If you learned more about this, would they make you a level 4 deer steward?
No, there's no level 4 deer steward and whatnot.
You've peaked?
Yeah, level 3 is their highest certification.
So you're as smart as you're going to get?
No, I'm always learning.
All right.
That's just the QDMA certification program that they offer. Level 1 and 2, I highly encourage to recommend to friends, clients. But no, you never stop learning, you know, with all that stuff. And just like you said, seeing articles or whatever on it, you know, take it with a grain of salt and, you know, fact check it too.
Yeah, learn, educate, read. Mm-hmm. It's cool, man. I enjoy the QDMA.com website. Mm-hmm. They have little, what do they call them, modules?
Yeah, they do the modules videos now, which are kind of a offshoot of the certifications and stuff like that now. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff on there. And, you know, you got to get beyond the splash stuff. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of mm-hmm. the main page and the little fine print links. Mm-hmm. That's where the good stuff is for me.
Yep. Yep, or search in for whatever you're looking for. Yeah. If you're looking for, you know, scrapes, maybe search scrapes and see what's coming up on that or whatnot. So,
well, good stuff, Ben. Thanks for your time. Be safe out in the woods, man. Best of luck to you. And, yeah, man, I hope you get a monster.
Yeah, make sure, just like everybody out there, make sure you're harnessing up, guys. You don't want to take that tree stand spill. Get out there. I'm building lifelines. I'm starting for my 200-plus stands or whatever you want to call it that I got. I'm starting to build my lifelines for them. So.
Why don't you just buy one?
Yeah.
What do you think, buying rope and tying a prussic knot?
Yes, sir.
No kidding. You know how to tie one of those?
Yeah, it's not that hard. Crap. YouTube, Google, whatever you want to call it, man.
There he is. That's how you can learn most things. Ben, thanks for your time, buddy. Old Tin Cup, TJSharp.com is Ben's website. I'll be back tomorrow morning with TJ Sharp and Steve Houseman with the B Morning Coffee Club. Bob's up next. You know Bob Kingsley with the countdown.
Right.
Have a blessed day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.